Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another fantastic week with us. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right, Nettie G. Fry, who are we sharing for our STR Share Sunday? Who's using our hashtag on Instagram?
Man, I want to get in the car and go here right now. It is at Cozy Coastal HP. Again, Cozy Coastal HP. Look it up right now on the Instagrams, and it is in Hyannisport, Cape Cod.
Oh, I love Cape Cod.
Yes. It's hosted by Kate, and I am like scrolling through Instagram, and seriously, I want to go there immediately.
Her feed is so fresh. It does feel cozy, but also like...
coastal fresh.
Yeah.
Like water, I want to be there. So there's a ton of cohesiveness on her Instagram feed, but really makes you want to head to the beach. And what I like, and I'm normally not somebody that's like, oh yeah, I totally want the beach vibe. She has nailed it in weaving in.
It's tastefully.
Yes.
Hinted at.
Yeah. It's not, you can tell you're on the beach, but right. You don't have like pink flamingos on,
right.
You know, every...
or starfish.
Everywhere.
Like, yeah. Hanging from your ceilings.
And right. One of the things I want to highlight in her highlights on Instagram, she has a highlight called Details. Mm-hmm. And it's just these little things that you wouldn't notice unless you were staying there. And it really like pulls you in and you want to book a trip.
So good.
ASAP. So listeners, please go give Kate a follow. Give her some love on Instagram. And, you know, Sarah and I, we want to share your space so you can live your dream. Make sure to use our hashtag and we will get you out into the airwaves also.
Yeah. Hashtag is STR Share Sunday. Okay. On to our show. We are very, very excited to be welcoming Lauren Noble, who is a super host from Austin, Texas, which that alone, the fact that she is a host in Austin, Texas, because Austin's a thriving, growing city. There's also been a lot of highlight there in terms of short-term rentals and their legality there. So there's that, but that we're not going to stop there. Her short-term rental was featured on the CNBC show Cash Pad with the Bachelorettes JoJo Fletcher and Jordan Rogers in the fall of 2019. hosting was supposed to be a fun part-time project for her, but as we all know, it has turned into a busy side gig that has jump-started her desire to get more involved in real estate investing. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you all for having me.
Oh my gosh. Lauren is, she's on location, everyone. You can't see it, but she's sitting in the fantastic and gorgeous short-term rental, and we cannot wait to dive into your story. So, Nettie, don't you agree? We should ask her, like, what?
Yeah.
How did you get on the show? Like, where did this all start?
Yeah, how'd you get famous on Cash Pad?
I was actually about to delete my social media.
Ooh.
And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was scrolling through everyone's stories for the last time, and I saw JoJo's story about it being the last day to apply to their television renovation show. So I went to the link and I read over it and I thought, hey, we could apply. It's a Friday evening. What else are we going to do? So we started filling out the application and it was really, really long. And we had to submit a video, which we did the next day. And we just crossed our fingers and said, they probably won't pick us. There's probably thousands of people applying. And then we got a phone call when we were on vacation that they chose us. So it was all very surreal.
So there wasn't even a meet and greet, like maybe you'll get chosen. It was like you went through that application and then boom, bang, phone call, let's do this.
They had a couple of phone call interviews, with the producer and then the assistant producer, but it was a really quick process. I think we got the call in February and then we were filming by March. So it was a very quick turnaround.
And you said we. Who is the we part
of
this?
Yes. We. My husband and I.
He's going to be listening.
Did he take convincing? You're like, hey, so I'm just going to go ahead and like sign us up for a TV show. You cool with that? And he was like, yeah, sounds great.
A little convincing, but he's actually been the one that's been really into real estate. He has a couple of long-term rentals and he's wanted me to get more into real estate. And so I talked about, there could be profit from this. And so then his ears.
Okay. So yeah. For those listeners who don't know about Cash Pad, it's okay if you were sleeping under a rock. no judgment. Talk to us about the premise. Like why was this exciting opportunity for you guys? Not only was it the being on the TV part, or was there something more to it that intrigued you?
Yeah, the premise of the show is actually taking existing space that homeowners had and transforming it into a short-term rental. So HGTV shows are really popular. I could sit there and watch HGTV all day. So that had the design element, but then it was on CNBC. So it had to have some sort of, economic viewpoint.
Right, right.
And yeah, so they wanted to look at the short-term rental market because that's so popular right now. Even during COVID, I feel like that was still pretty popular because you weren't sharing space with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So they took people's garages. Ours was a garage apartment. Someone had a shipping container. Someone had a bank building that they had. Mm. And they just went in and kind of did their own design, heard what you wanted for the space, but then they chose everything. You didn't get to see it. You had no input.
You had no input. That was my next question.
That's nerve-wracking. However, we kind of, Sarah and I peeked at the episode and your space, the garage, mm-hmm. it was kind of sitting vacant, we'll say. So you, were the thoughts when you and your husband purchased this property, were you going to create revenue from this garage? Like, had that ever been a thought? Had short-term rentals ever come to mind for this space? Or was it Cash Pad really what prompted you to think about that?
We had talked about it before, but instead of a short-term rental, since we weren't familiar with that, making it into a longer-term rental and just renting, for yearly leases or something like that. But it was just a big open room. And actually, our house used to be owned by a professional video gamer. So he used this. It was a big open space and he used this, I think, to stream because there were so many electrical outlets and I think they had like filming stuff and green screens up here.
Wow.
But I mean, this room could have been used for anything. But long story short, we had talked about it, but I was kind of honestly at first weirded out by the thought of having someone here mm-hmm. on our property all the time. But then Cashpad came along and I thought, they're not going to choose us anyways. We'll just apply. And then here we are.
This is just so listeners know, I think one thing that's super interesting about Lauren's space, your house is not connected to the garage, correct?
Correct.
So there's mm-hmm. some breathing room, if right. you will. And listeners, what Lauren just said, this is what Sarah and I always talk to our potential clients about. And one of the things that we think is a bright shining light in the short-term rental market is that, you know, Lauren just said it, having someone full-time on your property, a renter that maybe you don't have any relationship with, it's a lot. There's this like person always there. And what's great about short-term rentals is there's turnover. You can, you know, block your calendar if it's like, hey, we just want a month of nobody here, or we want to use the mm-hmm. space. It just, there's so much more flexibility with the short-term rental. And we always like to highlight that to our potential clients of like, this is one thing that's amazing about it. And you can get in and check at your property every week. You know, when you have a long-term renter, mm-hmm. you're really not going to enter all year unless they call you and need some assistance. So that's something that if you're listening to this episode and you have something like this, that's where we really think there's an added benefit mm-hmm. to short-term rentals. So the show, can you give us some dirt? Like, so you really, if you couldn't give any input, like, were you just sitting in your house watching them over there every day?
Wonder what they're doing.
Right? Kind of. I mean, I still work. I'm a nurse, so I work 12-hour shifts. So luckily that helped to keep me away. Because, you know, going in and out of the house, we park under the garage. So we would see the film crew out there and everyone, even when I came home, like at 8 p.m. from my shift, I would see them. So it was really, really hard to not peek. But we kept ourselves busy the whole time. And it was a huge surprise to see at the end.
Was it really like, did they ask you any, like, what are your favorite colors? Or nothing? Like, you didn't, like, nothing at all?
Yeah, they had asked me just what inspiration I had. And I really like, I don't know if you guys have seen her. She's a designer, Justina Blakeney, okay. and she has a line called the Jungalow.
Yes.
And I love
she's so good.
All of her colors and the rugs, just the patterns. And that's what I said that I really liked. So they just kind of went with it and they did a really good job.
Yeah. Okay. And then so Nettie and I talk about this a lot as well, which is like sometimes we have a whole education course on it, but it's like sometimes you get designers and stagers and they make it beautiful, but then they don't leave you with the things that you need to have it operate as a short-term mm-hmm. rental, right? Like the bedding, yes, the cute bedding on the bed, but then how about that bedding that we need to like during turnovers quickly get the bed changed or like, you know, like
yeah.
the toilet paper. So were you, once the show was in, were you like set up from A to Z or were there things that you guys had to do to really get it ready for the first guest?
There were still a lot of things that we had to do to get it ready for the first guest. It has an electric stovetop, a full-size fridge. We got a microwave and a coffee maker, little
nice.
Things
yeah.
like that. For the longest time, I operated with one set of sheets.
My gosh.
You can't do it. You can't do that.
I know.
You cannot
no.
do that.
No, because they're purple sheets. That's their brand and they're super comfy. But at first we weren't busy. So it wasn't hard for me,
okay.
you know,
okay.
to turn everything around. And we use a duvet cover. So
right.
I had one duvet cover also. So I just did it every single time.
Yeah.
And I've slowly acquired more things.
Yeah.
I really take to heart what the guest suggestions are. So we've added things along the way for what they wanted. But we had the majority of things set up for us so that we could start renting. The process to get it onto Airbnb took a little bit because we still had a few things on the outside of the house that had to be inspected by the city.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because we are in a different part of this city where we actually have a septic system, all of our streets do. So they were really, really strict about that. They kept having to come out. And so it took us a little bit longer to get it on Airbnb than we had liked. But that's okay.
Because
is there
licensing in your area? Do you have to apply for a short-term rental license or?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you have to do that yearly. They're pretty strict. So I actually just emailed to apply again.
Nice. Okay. Has the show helped get bookings? Like, are people like, saw you on the show and like seek out to
or do
stay
you use
at
your place? It as you're like, you know, like, marketing. I think you should use it forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, hey, stay in the house. I was featured. Is that, do you do that?
I try. That's what I thought. That's why I kept my social media to try to promote it. I do get messages from people saying, oh, well, I loved Cash Pad and that's why we're going to stay there. But the majority of people just find it on the Airbnb search, to be honest. But if anyone out there is a Cash Pad fan, we'd love to have you.
There you go.
And do you, inside your home, like in your welcome book or stuff like that, do you talk about the episode and say, hey, we were featured on Cash Pad? Do you mention it throughout the house?
You know, I do mention it in the Airbnb listing. And then in the, I think the welcome note that I send them, I use Airbnb's automated messages now, which is a really great feature that they have. And I usually mention it there. And then we still have the little postcards that were created by the television show. We put those on the coffee table for guests. And actually some people take them.
Oh, nice. So fun. Okay. So so can you take us through the timeline? When did you film? And then when did you accept your first guest?
We filmed in mid-March of 2019.
Okay.
And we took a month off since we took a vacation. And then we got our first guest, I think, in the end of August of 2019.
Okay.
And we were desperate to get any sort of review, any guest. And the first person that messaged us was a little family, and they were building a house here, and they wanted to stay for a month and a half. And so I thought, oh, again, I don't know how comfortable I feel with someone staying there for that long, but it actually taught us a lot, and we're still friends with them.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. So it actually worked out really well for them being our first guest.
Okay. When you say it taught you a lot, can you share with our listeners some of those first guests, you know, midterm stay guests? Can you remember some of those lessons that were learned right off the first reservation?
Yeah, I think it's good to have plastic containers, like plastic Tupperware, for people to place their food. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about cooking because it's a small electric stovetop. So we ended up giving them our crock pot to use so they could make meals. I had used all white towels, especially for the kitchen, which I thought, oh, well, white is nice and clean. But realistically, people use them in the kitchen for everything. So I kind of ditched those after, and we used those, and I put something else up there that could get a little bit dirtier and not necessarily stain.
Yeah.
And just, I guess in general, I just learned how available you should be for your guests. You know, they had questions if they wanted to use our driveway because we have a specific parking area for the guests. If they had just general questions about anything, I realized how much I needed my phone.
Let's talk about that. You're a mom, right? You're a first-time mom. Yes. Is that correct?
Yep.
You work 12-hour shifts. Your husband is a small business owner. I mean, y'all are already busy. So can you talk to our listeners? Because if people who haven't started hosting yet or they're just getting started, they want to know that. Like, how tethered do you feel to your phone? And how do you take vacation and take time off and just take time to breathe and not feel so connected all the time?
Right. I think that the automated message feature on Airbnb has really helped. I've used that for the last couple of bookings, and I feel less attached to my phone. When a guest is there and they respond to my automated message, I like to respond right away because, I'm a mom, and I definitely will forget if I don't answer.
Right.
And B, I just want the guest to know that I'm available if they need me.
Mm-hmm.
We blocked off some time in June for our daughter's birthday so that we can have people up here.
Yeah.
But we haven't really taken much of a break since we reopened back up last August.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely feel pretty tethered to my phone, but it's getting better. I'm learning that I can, you know, wait a little bit to answer things, or I don't always have to have it.
Right.
The bookings come in. We usually book on the weekends. So I just usually like to have my phone then. And my husband is the co-host. So he knows that if I don't answer within a specific time frame, he'll jump in and answer.
Right, like a 12-hour shift or whatnot. You guys take turns.
Yeah, yeah. So we double team it. And that's worked really well so far for us.
Great. And do you and your husband, do you do all the turnovers and cleaning? And is that something that you two are responsible for?
Yep. We do everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the detached garage at our house. So right now I'm also a little type A. So I want to oversee everything. There's not a washer and dryer in the unit.
Gotcha.
So if we were to hire someone, they would have to go to a laundromat. So right now we do everything. I do it on my days off since I work part-time. When my daughter goes down for a nap, I go upstairs and I clean. Mm-hmm. And then I have him do the double check the night before the guest comes, you know, just to make sure, since I've been up here all day,
yep,
off and on, make sure there's nothing that I'm missing.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do it all.
No, the great part, I know what I'm thinking right now is, holy smokes, that's awesome, because that means all the revenue is staying with you, with you and your family. True. And mm-hmm, that's got to be amazing. Let's talk about the financials a little bit. Is it mm-hmm, like kind of what you had thought revenue was going to be? Is it blown your mind? I know that you've mentioned you might be getting more interested in real estate investing. Is it short term? Like, mm-hmm, talk us through how you've navigated this revenue from your own property.
It's really fun. Seeing money. I don't think I fully understood the power of real estate until I was the one doing my own spreadsheet and looking at the revenue every month. Since I've gone part-time at work, so I work 2 days a week instead of three, I've definitely seen how it changes your bank account. So I didn't really have an expectation for how much we would make from this. So I guess from that perspective, it has exceeded my expectations because I wasn't really sure. Mm-hmm. But now that we're getting booked pretty much every weekend, I'm like hungry for more. I want to do more. I want to see how I can make more on this place, because it is at our house. And right now I'm able to handle everything. So I would just like to see how we can grow that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what does that mean to you? Are you not only your own property and maximizing what you already have, have you convinced your husband to convert the other two long-term rentals into short-term? Are you guys looking to maybe buy more property? Like, where do you guys see yourself potentially? Like, I don't know, things change, but 3 to 5 years when it comes to real estate.
Yeah, we actually just bought another property a little bit outside of Austin. Austin's market, I'm sure you guys have heard, is insane right now. Mm-hmm. And even this place outside of Austin, it's in a really small town. It was a selfish buy. I wanted a place to get away from the city. So it's a little under 5 acres. It feels really secluded. It needs some work, but we want to use that for ourselves and our family. And then weekends that it's not used, also use it as a short-term rental. And then I want him to, our other long-term rentals, I want him to sell one of them to maybe do something bigger, but
yeah,
I haven't convinced
him
yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Got it. Well, if he listens to this episode, I think we just need to make it happen. So we'll put some pressure. This episode will put pressure on.
Okay.
We need to go big.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So in the future, I definitely think we'll have more. That's his goal. He owns a small business right now, and it's a dry cleaners.
Oh, so, cool.
Yeah, his dad started it in the late 80s and he took over. So I know in the end, he would love to be more into real estate versus the dry cleaning industry, but mm-hmm,
yeah,
one day at a time.
Yeah. But question, and this is so random. Is there any correlation between like dry cleaning and laundry, or is it a completely separate industry in that world?
It's separate, but his company does both dry cleaning and laundry. It's a different process.
Sarah's like salivating.
No, because like a laundromat. Listeners, someone needs to go out there and solve the laundry problem for short-term rentals, and not just like people like pick it up and take it to laundry, but like, especially in markets like Austin, Like having a laundromat that focuses just on short-term rental hosts. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something. I should tell him about
that. Tell him about it. And then I want to be an equity partner.
Yes.
Well, yeah. We'll call you.
No, because it's something that it is.
It's a pain point.
I was going to say, if occupancy is a pain point, the second pain point is laundry. Because a lot of times that, and listeners, if you haven't hired someone yet to help you with your turnovers, normally what happens is they're so efficient and they can go in and just crush these cleanings, these turnovers. But where they get hung up is there is not enough time to do, like what Lauren was saying earlier, do all the sheets, do the duvets, do the towels, and wait for them to completely
tackle a stain, right? Yeah. Like take the time to look over the sheets and whatever. And it's, so anyway, yeah. You said dry cleaning and I was like, wait a minute.
I mean, he's the one, I have a stain on a towel right now that I can't get out. And so I go to him and he takes it to work and he will spot clean it.
You guys, I mean, that might be another, just saying, talk to us about Austin and their relationship with short-term rentals. Just curious on how, because I know it was in, for a while, it was like nixed, no? And like, where is it today?
So they tried to pass some legislation a couple of years ago saying that you could only have a short-term rental if it was owner-occupied. Austin has been growing for many years now, and I feel like it's just exploded in the past year and a half with the pandemic and people wanting, you know, to move out from where they are. So that actually was declared, I don't know, that we just weren't able to do it here. So now you can just have short-term rentals, even if you don't live in the house. Mm-hmm. But the market is pretty competitive, I would say, just because everyone is wanting to come here every weekend. Now that things are starting to open back up, it's like every weekend there's a festival or a conference or, you know, something like that, or people just want to come here.
Yeah.
What makes
sure? You do have to have a license though. So you have to have, you know, someone come out and inspect it. And then every year you just have to renew it and you can't let it lapse. I do that. Just, I don't want to get in trouble with the city.
Yeah, for sure. That's great.
So what makes your property, if I'm, you know, I'm coming to Austin and I want to stay, what makes your property stand out? Is there something specific that you think is amazing that's like, hey, this is no brainer. People are going to choose your space.
Yeah. I think that while we aren't in downtown, we're on a very quiet street, so you're not going to hear any big background noise. But on the television show, they converted our carport. It's about 400 square feet. They converted it into a deck. So they made custom bench seating up there, and we have little tables. So it's a great space to hang out with your friends. People have worked out there, done meetings out there. I've let my kid crawl out there. We've had like little birthday parties, engagement parties, baby showers. You could even like do a virtual workout.
Sure.
So it's a great space. We have deer in our neighborhood, which is not always common in the city. So you can see them in the evening. They walk down our street. So it's kind of nice if you're here in the evening to see. So I would say that's the best part of this place.
Extra like square footage outdoor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk to our listeners about if they're wanting to tap in, they're like, you know what, I can't, the market's crazy, but you know what? I do have a mother-in-law suite, or I do have an ADU, whatever you want to call it. I do have a basement with egress. But they're nervous about who they welcome into the space, right? Because you've got a family, they're coming onto your property. Mm-hmm. What is your process for accepting guests that makes you and your family feel comfortable?
So I do have Instant Book on.
Okay.
And it still will have me accept or decline the request. I look to see if the person has other reviews from other hosts. Mm-hmm. And to be completely honest, I will look them up on social media.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I've been known to do that.
Sometimes. Just because, it is at our house.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't really ever see them. Mm-hmm. I'm either at work or, you know, we're inside with the kid or out on a walk, out doing something. So we've luckily had very great guests. Mm-hmm. I think that people are very respectful because it is on our property. So mm-hmm. we haven't really had, knock on wood, had anyone try and pull a fast one on us about having a huge party, because mm-hmm. we would know we're right there.
Exactly.
And also our neighbors are, we are a very tight-knit group, and they would let us know very quickly if something seemed off.
Let's talk about that, because we haven't really discussed this too much on the show. Since you are, it sounds like, in a very, you know, straight-up neighborhood, like not any short-term rentals at all or long-term rentals. It sounds like everyone owns the homes there. What were these discussions like? Are you very forthcoming? Obviously, they probably saw the TV cameras, but how have those conversations gone with your neighbors, and has mm-hmm. it been any, have there been any challenges? Can you discuss with us how that goes down?
Sure. Luckily, we're not the first people to be on a television show on our street.
Oh, so what is going on in this neighborhood?
I know. It's a fun street. It's a good place to be. So we just kind of gave everyone the heads up before they started filming just what was going on. And we actually have a street text message. So we're always in contact with each other. And we just had let people know that this is what we were going to do. And we wanted them to be honest with us if they didn't like something. Mm-hmm. And so far, it's been really positive. You know, if we go out of town and have someone, we have two dogs. So if we have our dog sitter come, we let her know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I let her know the name or how many people are there. And then we also tell our neighbors that we're gone, and they kind of keep an eye out for
us. Extra set of eyes.
But yeah. But everyone has been really great. Like I said, all the guests have. And so far we haven't had any complaints from our neighbors.
Awesome.
And we're all very close. So I know that they would tell us if they were uncomfortable with something.
Okay. Zeddy and I love to preach about, you know, we've actually recently just heard someone else talking about, you know, just people taking the road of being dishonest or secretive about your short-term rental. And I think it is 2021. Short-term rentals, Airbnb, they've been around for a minute. People know about it. Just, I think the more upfront you are with them and more open you are with mm-hmm. them about what you're doing, not only will you be probably most likely surprised that they're going to be supportive, especially if you tell them like how you plan to mm-hmm. be a great host and be an attentive host and a great neighbor, but then you get these other sets of eyes. Well, it's not their responsibility to watch your property. Like, how nice is it to like feel like, okay, I'm gone this weekend. My whole street has my back.
The street text has my back.
Yeah. Like,
I just.
Have you had any of the neighbors, like their family, stay with you? Because they just didn't want them in their house.
You know, we have had people try to rent it, and they said, oh, hey, my aunt and uncle are coming this weekend. Can I rent your place? But it was already rented.
Right.
We book about 1 to 2 months in advance.
Nice.
So, I would love to have their families or friends stay here.
Right.
It would be very convenient. We did actually for Thanksgiving have a husband and a wife stay, and their parents lived on the street, two streets behind us.
Nice.
So we got to meet their parents while they were out walking the dog and talk to them, and got to meet the guests. So we always try to talk to everyone. We're really nice, I think, if we see them. So if anyone ever stays with us, hopefully we get to see you.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you can share with our listeners that you think they would need to know about A, being on a television show, B, being a host, or
being a host of a property that you kind of share?
Yeah. Any lessons? Anything good?
I think you guys highlighted something, just being honest with people. I found that the guests are really respectful if you are. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of oak trees on our property, and we spray for bugs, but bugs get in. And I know that we've had some stuff happen with guests, and once there was a lizard inside, once there were, you know, a couple of bugs, but we were honest with the people, and we've still gotten 5-star ratings because of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, they look past the one extra spider that was inside or something like that.
Right.
And then I always leave a note for our guests. I grew up writing thank you notes and getting handwritten notes. So I always write people just a little note saying thank you for staying with us. And I I think it really makes them feel special, and to let them know that we are very approachable. So if they need anything, we're literally right next door. So they can ask us for anything.
Oh, I think
those
awesome.
Are two.
No, I love the handwritten note. That's great.
Thank you so much for being such an open and honest host and a great addition to the short-term rental hosting community. Mm-hmm. It's just so refreshing to see hosts just like you. And how fun that you got to have this great experience kick off your hosting journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wish you and your hubby so much success. We can't wait to watch you grow. And you'll have to keep Thanks for Visiting posted as you guys continue to add on. Because like we say, once you start, you can't stop. It's very addicting.
It's addicting for sure.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you all so much for having me. I'm going to continue listening to all of your podcasts because I enjoy getting all the little tidbits that you guys share.
Amazing.
Listeners, we will make sure to link to Lauren's social media that she's still very active on. She did not quit. And also, we'll make sure that we link to their show so you can watch it for yourself. But the biggest takeaway today is shoot your shot. I love that Lauren and her husband, like, let's just apply, because their life would be so different if they hadn't shot their shot that night and just said, hey, we're going to fill out this application. And here's the thing. It was, she said it at the beginning. Yes, there was probably, it was a long application and they probably wanted to quit at one point in time, and you just keep going because now she's
committed.
Yeah, she did it. I love it. Well, we cannot wait to hopefully come stay with you.
Yes.
It's going to put that on
please,
our
we'd
goal
love
list.
To have you.
All right, Lauren, thank you so much for your time.
Listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.